Well, we just got done reading Psalm 84, and even though it's a short psalm, you got to admit it's power-packed and it's full of a whole lot of material. Let's just consider how the psalm ends. Look at verse 12. O Lord of hosts. Now that term, Lord of hosts, the word host refers to the angelic realm. Okay? Now, when in the ancient days, when you had two opposing armies on the battlefield, where they would slug it out, okay, you would say, well, look at the army, look at the host of men. And so when it says the Lord of hosts, it's a reference to God being over, if you will, the angelic army. And there are even different ranks of angels. You got seraphim, you got cherubim, you have archangel, and you have other terms like principalities and powers, okay, and the word angel, as if it's like a private, just a little one striper. And above the so-called rank of angel is a myriad of other angels with greater ranking, greater ability, and greater power. Scripture also teaches us in the book of Daniel that angels are assigned to the nations. Some of these angels are fallen angels that are actually behind the scene of that president or that dictator or the king or the queen or the prime minister. Certain nations that have turned themselves over to that darkness, they're actually being energized and influenced by a demon. And then there are other nations that have not plunged into that depth of darkness. This is borne out in a careful study of the book of Daniel. But here, O Lord of hosts, God who superintends over the angelic realm, blessed is the man that trusted in thee. Now we look at the word blessed in our English translation here, whether you have this one or whatever. People fail to realize that the word blessed in the Hebrew is not in the singular, but it's in the plural. It basically says, O Lord of hosts, blessednesses is the man that trusted in thee. So when you see the word blessed, you're going to be thinking, well, does God only have one blessing? That's all I get? No. The Hebrew here is in the plural. Blessednesses. And there are those who say that the word, the Hebrew word, when you trace its root, also implies happiness. So you can say, O Lord of hosts, happinesses, or happy is the man, notice, that trusted in thee. So there's a condition here. If you want the blessings of God, and you want the happinesses that he can give to his people, notice, it's not just any man or any woman or any child. There is a provision. There's a condition. Blessed is the man, the woman, or the child that trusted in thee. And the verb tense here, the word trust, the verb tense in the Hebrew is not something that means, well, you've done it in the past and that's fine. No. The verb in the Hebrew here is continual action. It's a daily trust. It's an hour by hour trusting. It's a moment by moment confidence in him. That's why, again, not to belabor the point, but in the King James, when they have the word trust, they add the ending ETH. A lot of people make fun of that, you know, loveth it and all that. They kind of mock that ETH. That's a signal by the translators of 1611 that the verb here is in the active continual tense. Okay? That's why they did it that way. To signal you that the verb here is not something you did when you first, when Christ first saved you and you trusted in him and now you're all done trusting. Now all you're doing is waiting to get to heaven. No. The verb here is a continual trust, a continual reliance, moment by moment. Notice also verse 10. You may have heard this in other church settings. You may have even heard someone preach this. But notice the psalmist, this guy Korah. Notice what he says. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper. And if you want to bring this into a modern day vernacular, I had rather be the janitor or the custodian in the house of my God than to live and to be part of what? The tents of wickedness. Korah said, when he looked around the day in which he lived, there were many tents of wickedness, meaning there were many places where any physical lust that you had could easily be fulfilled and you would have been pleased. It could have been the local pub at that time, or the local brothel, and you could have gone to any of these places and you would have been satisfied physically, but then that contentment or that satisfaction would wear off and you got to go back to the pub and you got to go back to the women of the night. He's saying, one day in your presence is better than simply 1,000 days to live. And I had rather be a doorkeeper. I had rather be the guy that would empty the buckets of trash in the men's and the ladies' room of where that congregation meets than to go into any one of the tents of darkness and pleasure. Isn't that amazing? His love and his concern. Notice verse 9. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. The word anointed means one who is sent. The word Christ simply means the anointed one, the one who is sent. Well, has he not sent you and I in that great commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel? That concept of going to other parts, not only here in the States, but overseas, and bringing good news. Wow. Notice also in verses 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. You know, I've been around a lot of Christians. I mean, I've been saved when I was 18. Now I'm 73. Beloved, I've been in churches in Asia. I've been in churches in Europe. I've been in church in Cuba and, of course, the different states. I've been up in a Southern Baptist church above the Arctic Circle with a bunch of Eskimos meeting when even the heater didn't decide to kick on in the month of February and we're all freezing, but we had church. I've been around a lot of people who claim to be Christians. And beloved, have you ever noticed how lackluster their life is? You know, they just go through the motions of living. There seems to be no praise, no real thanksgiving for what God has done for them. And yet verse 4 says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. I met a lot of people, especially in the military. Well, I used to go to church. Oh, I used to be a Christian, but not now. Well, what happened? Did you hit a speed bump in your faith? What happened? Well, God's not kind. He didn't answer a certain prayer. Or he didn't heal this, and he didn't raise from the bed of affliction my mom or my brother or whatever. They find some excuse to blame God. Well, beloved, you and I should be praising God, even in the good times as well as the bad. Look at verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are all the ways of them. And so notice how Psalm 84 seems to be a song of reminding you and I of the blessings or the blessingnesses that we have. Even the sparrows, verse 3, yea, the sparrow has found the house and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Notice as they close out this, notice how the psalmist refers to God, not someone who's way out there beyond Pluto. He says, my King, my God. Well, when you put the word my in front of something, like this is my Bible, this is my pillow, this is my table, that denotes ownership. You own it. And when it says, my king, my God, remember the coin illustration 2 Sundays ago? There's always two sides. Not only does God own me, flip, I own him. I am attached to him by the third blessed member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. So God owns you, and therefore he is your king and he is your God because of what Christ has accomplished and your faith and trust placed in Christ and him alone. But there's another aspect of that ownership. You own him. And in Scripture we are told that Jesus is not ashamed to call you and I his brothers. Imagine that. The God of heaven condescending to creatures like you and I, and Jesus is not ashamed to call all of us his brothers and his sisters. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.